Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 The Process of Devotional Service.
Before you start, I have a question.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, we were on actually this chapter.
I have a question about the Natya Shastra Laita Madhava just before you started. This means one person asked me, you know, about poetry.
Poetry.
So when Natya Shastra deals mainly with drama, music, and expression, in the Veda, do they have also some books about poetry?
Yeah, yeah. It's sahitya. That means the poetry. Is that technically you're talking Gandharva Veda. Gandharva Veda means music, drama, and dance.
Yes.
And so the point is in music you're going to be dealing with some form of, it's not just instrumental, it's about the words that are going on, and the instrumental backs that up. So there's going to be poetry there. When you're speaking, they'll speak sometimes in prose, sometimes in poetry. You know? And then when you're dealing with the dance is going to be, they're not necessarily saying anything, but there'll be music that has the lyrics will be poetry. Mm-hmm. So poetry is very much part of the Gandharva Veda.
Okay.
So yes, there are. That's why I was mentioning Sahitya Darpana and those things like that.
Yes, yes.
But it's so much of that is there is then being given in the Natya Shastra.
Yes.
You know about its importance or how it's used. I mean, we just dealt with major aspects. I mean, there's much more detail of even in the poetics, right? Yes.
Kavya is poetry. Sahitya is more like all arts.
All arts, okay.
It includes literature. Really.
Yes, because the point is that the kavya is used in everything else. So just the mechanical science of it, that'll be kavya.
Yes.
But its application, that's sahitya. So that it could be in music, and be in drama, and the dance, and the literature. You know, so all these things, how to present something. It's a matter of communication on how you can get across the sentiments. Well, logic is how you mechanically show, you know, the intellectual progression of something. So poetry or the kavya will be the mechanical progression of emotions.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So the Gandharva is where these two come together. You know. In this form, so that the emphasis will be, of course, on the kavya aspect,
yes.
But when it's being applied somewhere else, so nectar of devotion, that's already discussing these things, because if you don't understand the rasas, how the rasas moves, what's the point? So it's not just okay. You have a line, and it ends with a particular syllable or group of syllables. So the next line, it also ends with the same.
Yes, yes.
That's not that. Or if you want to get fancy, the first line is that, the second line something else, then the third line is the same as the first,
yes.
But the fourth line is the same as the second.
Yes.
You know, so you have different ways like that. So that's not, I mean, in the West, basically, that's poetry.
Yes.
You know, once you learn that, you know, whatever it is, you know, half a page of poetic details,
yes.
Then, you know, you're good to go.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like that. Unless you're getting into limericks, then you need a little more explanation. Like that. So all it is that it's that's just a small part of it. It's about how it moves through the emotions. That's the important part. Yes.
As we have seen before, that the rasa is the soul of the poetry, rasa, and as well as the direct meaning, because the direct meaning lays the foundation for the rasa. So those form the soul, and then the qualities, the gunas, the three main qualities, they form the body. That clarity, and then vigor, and then sweetness.
Yes.
And then all the metaphors, and then everything else, they form the ornamentation. So the one which you mentioned is just a small ornamentation, which is the meter within the ornaments. Even more important than that is the metaphor, similes, which are more important, because that gives more taste.
Like. Yeah, you talk about this is like the moon and like that, like you saw. Everything is all these metaphors and similes like this. Yes. That's what gives the sweetness. Yes. Now, in the English, you may not be able to appreciate, but in the Sanskrit, it'll have the endings and all those things like that.
Because it moves through, like the metaphors, so it's the ornaments, then they embellish the gunas, which is the body, which embellish back the main rasa. So it moves very smoothly.
Yes. So that's what you're doing. So that we've already discussed. That's the main thing. If you catch that, then you actually can deal with poetry. So that's the difficulty. We want something simple like just, you know, the end ends like this. But it's nice. It's part of it. That would be even within the meter that you have that kind of thing. Like that. I can't remember what the name is for that, where letters have the same sound. The idea is that it's the same sound. I think they also call it alliteration. Alliteration, something. And the fun part is, in the modern, you have to be careful of alliteration. They don't like it if it's not poetry.
Yes.
You know, if you have too many of the same sounds, then they get upset, you know, like that. They'll write back, like this, and so, you know. It's too pleasant, too sweet, too attractive. You know, we want something, you know, heart cutting, you know, whatever. So we've already, the essence of it, we've already studied in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the Natya Shastra, and the example is then the Lalita Madhava. Does that make sense?
And the goal is to elevate the consciousness.
Yes, to elevate the consciousness. Yeah, so it's just like, let's say we do the modern part, the emphasis will be on the similar sounds.
Yes.
Or the layout, like haikus, is nothing to do with sounds, but how you, it means you break the sentence up into I can't remember what the names is, but it's like the phrases of thought, you know, how you say, thought bites? You know? You know, it's like, so, I was thinking. And those are both be on different lines.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You know, that makes it a haiku.
Yes.
So yes. You know, so people get more worried about that than what you're saying. So while the Vedic is, you're more worried about what you're saying than the technical. That's why then in the opening, the Bhagavatam, then that verse is quoted that if it's about the Supreme Lord, then the honest people, they will appreciate it. Even though it's not grammatically and by kavya correct, but they'll glorify it and discuss it. You know, while these scholars who are not rasiks, they'll think, oh, this is not. You know, so that was the whole thing, is that these Digvijay pundits, grammatically it may be seemingly perfect as far as how certain things work, but as far as actually what they're saying, it's wrong. You know, so we see is, you know, that pundit, then he quoted 100 verses like the wind about the Ganga. So this means just right after the other. So as we're talking, he could talk poetry. And so Lord Chaitanya then, you know, he was saying there's so many faults, but he'll just take one example. And that one example he takes right from the middle, the 51st verse. Because the first verse, okay, you're paying attention, and then at the end you might pay attention, but in the middle, you know, who pays attention? The right in the middle, that one is where he takes. And it's not, in the, oh, then in the middle of the verse, you know, then he says here. You know, So that was just one example. Because that's the point, is the quality of it. So the rasa wasn't good. Mechanically it might have been good, but rasa-wise it wasn't. So that's what we're looking for. Srup Damodar, when he reads things, it's about how it's proper the Siddhanta. Or I saw the other day one thing where, I can't remember who was discussing it. I don't remember if it was Upendra or something. He was saying that the devotees went out for this program and all that. And two reporters came. One that was from this newspaper that always makes snarky comments. You know, just they're known for just ripping everything to shreds. Another one was more pleasant. And so with the one, it was, you know, the person came. They were not unfavorable. They asked a few questions. You know, they always ask some questions that are irrelevant to actually what's the important point. You know, like that, and, you know, why do you wear these bed sheets? Yeah. You know, and that kind of stuff. Why is this mud on your forehead? You know, and then if you give the nice answer, then they'll pick out something that's pleasant and give it for the readers and that. The other one, then he came up and was arguing with the devotees and this and that, and they were, you know, giving things back, and he went back and wrote his article. So the next day when they came out, then the one was very pleasant. It wasn't aggressive or anything like that. And the other one was quite aggressive. But in it, Prabhupada counted how many times Hare Krishna came up.
Yes.
So in the pleasant one, it came up like once or twice, that's all. And most of the time they talked about anything else. But this one is, well, Hare Krishna said this, and then the Hare Krishna said that, and then, you know, about this, and they only tried Hare. So he mentioned so many times, the Prabhupada said, this is the better article. Because you can say, oh no, but it's bad, and it says, what's a bad light? But the point is whoever reads it has read Hare Krishna Maha Mantra so many times, they will get the spiritual benefit. While the other one, it doesn't say anything about necessarily philosophy, and it only says Hare Krishna twice. So actually, they'll get more benefit from this. We're thinking, oh no, no, it's all about the technical words and this and that. No, it's not. So that's the whole thing. It's just like, you can say, oh, but they're speaking badly here and this and that. But in Vrindavan, do not the other gopis or the moms or Jatila and that, do they not speak badly about Radharani? But the point is, they're always talking about Radharani. You know, and in speaking badly about it, the point is she's the one that people are thinking about. So if they're thinking about you, then you can do something. And if they're not thinking about you, then you do things, who cares? So it's a very different approach. Because we're looking at it from that external view of the form of it. But the point is, Kavya is about the content of it.
Yes.
Like that. The emotional content. So our thing is, it's spiritual content that's being, you know, presented poetically.
Yes.
You know, and then it has the mechanical form that Natya Shastra has.
Yes. But more or less, Maharaj is only pure devotee who can write.
Yes, only pure devotees could write. That's why you see who can write these things. Like that. You know, even within our movement, we only had one person go into this and spend years in that and researched it very nicely in that and then wrote a drama using all these techniques that Rupa Goswami mentions. You know, but that's only one. You know, and they wrote it with a context to actually publish it, and then they got actors and did a whole thing, and I think for a couple of years that they performed, right? It wasn't just one time. I think they...
But the Charamara has got it performed.
He got it performed. Oh, he arranged it. Okay, he got the actors. And so then, yeah. So it was like this. So it's not very often. So, you know, so you have this. The person who wrote it and the person who published it, you see, or produced it, they're the ones who are... you know, of a standard that we were talking about yesterday. That's the problem. So, you know, you say about the drama, but the, you know, two persons that could do that aren't with us, so. You know, so it's just a matter of time. It's just time. But we can appreciate it by reading it, discussing it like that, and then maybe in the future it'll be able to be performed. Right? So you have to know what's the essence. Because otherwise you can say, oh, but the, you know, this is, you know, how the drama is unfolding. You know, there's so many gaps in it. You know, there's plot holes and all that, but there's none. If you're looking at rasa, there's none. That's the thing. It's perfect in how it moves in rasa. While the modern is, there's no plot holes, but there's no taste.
In the book, Mathura meets Vrindavan.
Oh, okay.
There are extensive quotations from the Vrindavan.
Okay.
I'm not sure who wrote it.
Oh,
he wrote it.
Yes, so I'm just saying it's a matter of understanding what you're looking for. You know, does that make sense? Okay. So it takes care of everything, like we saw when Bharat Muni's explaining in the performance, it should cater to everybody. So it's technically correct and all that. The scholars will appreciate the way the motions move and all that, and it's correct. The women will appreciate. And then it has great, you know, enthusiasm and energy, and then the general public will appreciate. So you combine those, and then it works. Like that. So. Okay, adhyayapaka. Oh, pratigya. A human being's activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. Right, so no other center. That's the center. Then out from that, you can have so many, how many rings you need. You know, like Prabhupada gives the example, you throw in one pebble, and from the center, then so many rings come out and they're all perfect. So if Krishna's in the center, someone's life is very simple. He might have 10 rings. Someone's life is more complex. He might have 100 rings. But the point is, Krishna's the center, it perfectly balances. So we always talk about balance. So the difficulty comes up is there's not one center. That's why there's imbalance. But if there's one center, you can have Yudhishthir Maharaj is running an empire. You know, so, you know, a bit more than 100 here, you know, circles. But it works perfectly. So if there's imbalance, because we have more than one center. And as soon as Krishna is the center, then it all works out. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, I think someone mentioned, was asking yesterday, is that, okay, how, you know, you balancing between your sadhana and you know, your occupational, all these different things like that. Because the point is if you put it on sadhana, then you can't maintain yourself. And you put it on the maintain, so there's no sadhana. So then the point comes down is that sadhana is what is the point. Human life is centered around Krishna, so then it has to be about the sadhana, right? But at the same time, is to do the sadhana, you actually have to be alive. You starve to death or get, you know, blown away by the wind or carried off by the, you know, the jackals or the elephants step on you or stuff like that, then it's a problem, right? So then you have to have some place and some facilities. That requires the occupation. So the only purpose of the occupation is to support the sadhana. But the sadhana has to be done. But without the occupation, how you'll do the sadhana? Because you won't have the facilities. So that means, okay, the sadhana is the thing, is that you have its natural form, how it goes, but the point of chanting and all that, it has no rules. So you can be chanted any time. But strangely, your work, they expect you, you know, there at 9 and leave at 5. You know, it's like that. So therefore, 9 and 5, you do your work and whatever has to be done at the work nicely. And then before that and afterward, then you work in all your sadhana. So you might chant here, you might read there, you might do things that, or the lunch break and get in something, or, you know, you work it around that. It doesn't mean that the occupation becomes more important. It's secondary. But secondary is where all the technical aspects are that you have to, you deal, you get this result, because it's the nimitta aspect where you're transforming the energy. So unless it's done that way, it doesn't work. you don't boil the potatoes for 20 minutes, they're not cooked. You can think, oh, why do we have to do so long? I just like to boil them for 3 minutes, then they won't be cooked. No, but why like that? You know, why can't, you know, I feel it should be, you know, why can't we? No, no. So the point is this, the mechanics, so that the difficulty is the mechanics take up more volume of time than the essence. But that doesn't mean it's more important. But it may have specific, like we sleep at night, so that's going to be at that time. We're not going to put it in the day. You know, it's at that time. You eat at these times. You work at these times. And then you're going to see that, you know, you have these other times. So that's the idea why, if you want to have it in a block and regular, we go to bed earlier, get up earlier, and then you can stick your sadhana and everything there. And then the day goes, and then you end with some and then go to sleep. But just because volume is greater doesn't mean that it's more important. Chanting is 2 hours a day, so that doesn't mean that the other 22 hours are actually more important because there's more volume. So that's the whole point, is if you understand primary and secondary, then you'll see that the primary is being accomplished with the support of the secondary. So therefore, these technical points that make it into a drama or poetry or dance or music or these things, then those things themselves are there to support what you're actually saying in your poetry. Does that make sense? So here is that our life, it should be centered on devotional service, not on anything else. Then you may spend most of your time, that's why you have the primary and the secondary, a direct and indirect. So it may be less time is on the direct and more time is on the indirect, but that doesn't mean that it's not about Krishna. You know. Yes.
So Maharaj, for the indirect activities, if they are connected to Krishna, then will it give the same benefit?
It gives the benefit, but it's a supporting element that's a benefit. It means what's it, you do work is secondary, right, or indirect. But what's the point of it? Why do you work? You know, you just like for the exercise, or you know, I mean, what's the point?
So that you can maintain and then do service.
Okay. So the more direct and indirect answer. Why are you doing it? Money. Why are you doing it? No, so you can do this, that, and money. Right? So the point is that money is able to help support the situation in which now you can chant, because it's not that the money makes you chant. You know? I mean, the bank tellers like that, you know, they know I can't tell so much of the day, so they're going, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, and then they you know, they're able to keep count and everything like that. And stuff like that. That'd be great. You know, but the point is this, no, it's that it's indirect. Indirect means it creates environment. It may give knowledge, it may give, you know, skills, it may, you know, how you say, cultivate qualities and all these different things. But it's using them in Krishna's service, what is the important thing. So the devotional service, that is independent. Right? Whether you make money or not, it can work. It just may not be an environment in which you are comfortable. You know what I'm saying? The Goswamis are sitting under a tree. They have no job. Right? But if we're not comfortable sitting under a tree, then get a job. You know? Does that make sense? So you have to see is that it is indirect, but it has that support. That's why you have to see. It's indirect, means you have to connect it. Direct, whether you are remembering Krishna or not, the holy name is Krishna. Whether you're thinking of the deities or not, you're sitting in front, they are there. You're hearing Bhagavatam, whether you understand its transcendental significance or not, it is transcendental. You know what I'm saying? You appreciate Vaishnavas or not, they're still Vaishnavas. You know, the Dham, you just think it's where I live or it's something like that, it's still the Dham. So the direct activities means whether you understand or not, but the indirect, if you connect them, they get connected. You don't connect them, they're not connected. Just like the material world, it's Krishna's energy. So devotees, when they see it in context of Krishna, they're living in the spiritual platform. They're not dealing with external energy. right? But those who just see that without Krishna, they're just dealing with external energy. It's just how Krishna's energies work. So it's the same principle. So there it applies across. So you see it like that, then it works. Is that okay? So it's very straightforward. It's not complicated, but we have to catch the principle and then try to apply it into the detail we're in, because everybody's situation is unique. It's based on common elements. But how those elements will be put together, like everybody, you know, is, you know, somehow or another investing money into the place they stay. Either is as rent, as a mortgage, you know, as they bought it, you know, something they're doing, you know, or maintain, it's theirs, they're maintaining it. So that's there, but it's different people, how they're doing, how it works, when they pay, they're paying weekly, they're paying monthly. You know, that's details. So we get caught up in the detail and saying, oh, it's so different, you know. And like I told someone, oh, you were thinking about going to the temple. And they said, no, I wasn't thinking that. And then after a long, I mean, like, painful. After 1 hour, then it came out that what he actually thought was, maybe I should go to the temple. So there was a difference in the word. And so there, and it had nothing to do with what you said. I said, you're thinking about going to the temple. And in his thinking was like, maybe I should go or not go to the temple. And so he said no. Because the exact words weren't exactly the same. So any conversation you had with this person on anything subtler than, you know, a rock, it was always no. Because unless you got exactly the words that he said, you know, or in the mood, and that, it was no. He could not in any way think that, oh, there's a commonality here. This is a mic, that's a mic, but this is small, and that's big, and this is really small. But because this is small, that's that. They're not, actually, they can't be all mics. And then on that, we don't even see one of these puffy things, so that thing over there can't have a mic at all. And in that way, they're thinking. So we have to avoid that kind of thinking, which is extremely popular. Because why? Because then you can argue. It's the age of, you know, quarrel. So it's that we have to argue over, you know. Like I mentioned the other day, you know, the kid comes up with one of his little stilettos and goes, hey, give me your money, like that. And they, you know, and he's just standing there. And then the person says, give him your money. He says, why should I give him money? He's got a knife. He says, that's not a knife. You know, and he goes in and pulls out this big Bowie knife about this big. He says, this is a knife. And then the guy, whoa, and runs off. You know, so. So, you know, that's not what we're doing here. We have to be very, very careful. Is that you have to see the principle. That's why we start with the pratigya. You means advocate to be centered around devotional service. Now Lord Chaitanya will explain how that's done. What are the different ways? But you can say, oh, but you explained these ideas. You know, you said getting a job, but I don't have a job. I have a different thing that I'm doing. And so therefore, how does that apply in my life? You know, like that. You know, you said 9 to 5, but I actually work from, 8 to 2. You know, so what you said has no significance in my life at all. You know? So that's the difficulty we like to argue over. So we're not seeing the principle. That's the weakness.
I remember when I was a Sankirtan devotee in the 70s, there was this devotee who worked for Spiritual Sky, incense. So he used to travel all across the country, driving them from one shop to another, getting orders, deliveries, non-stop. Then on Saturday morning, I used to see him in the temple in front of the deities. I don't know for how long. I said, wow, you spend a lot of time in front of the deities. He said, yes, I'm chanting 1 week worth of Gayatri. You should do that. You say, I don't have the time, nor do I have the mood. after driving and meeting commies, if you saw a chant, "Oh my God," in one go on Saturday morning.
I say different strokes. Yeah, why not? Is he still around?
Well, he actually passed
away. Oh, okay. What about that? Well, then he is around. He's just not on this sphere. He's on another level. Yeah, I mean, so it might work, but it's not, you wouldn't call it standard. Right, trying to stick to the standard, he's come up with that solution. Now, if you take his solution as the standard, now people won't get in all the ones. Well, I can't get them all done. You know? Until it just comes down to, well, at least I wear the thread. You know?
Yeah. Hindu Brahman.
Yes, basically.
And one time in France, one devotee was being initiated, second initiation, but he was not wearing his thread. One time he asked me, "Can you give my friend, I want to chant on Gayatri."
Oh.
Yeah, because sometimes people are chanting, sometimes having the thread, sometimes no. So
if they don't, then they don't.
And after the chanting, he wanted to have the thread for chanting. You know?
So, you know, he wanted to borrow yours.
No, it's only, we have one extra.
Oh, extra, not that you have to take yours off, give the heat chance, and then he gives it back, and then you chant. You hand it down the line, right? All the brahmacharis, So poor, we only have one thread for all of us, you know, like that. We let him wear it because he's more clean, so it's less stinky, you know, so. That could work. And that's all happening Saturday morning, right? You know, we'll book you in, okay, you know, you're from, 6 to 6.30, from 6.30 to 7, you have, no, but it takes me a little longer, okay, 7 to 7.10, you know, like that, the next time. So that's why there's standards, that's the thing, understand the principle, these are the standards, now you try to accomplish that.
Yes.
Then the balance works. So that's why it has to be centered about Krishna, and then the directions given by the acharyas. And then you in your life and your situation, you bring it as best you can. You know, so this thing of making a new standard, and that then it just keeps going down. That's all. Like I noticed, if you have a standard, okay, for the boys, you know, this is the locker. Everything that you have must fit into that, and it must be tidy that you can look at it and see everything. Not that it's not that you hired some of those guys from Japan at the train station, you know, that you put your stuff and then they come and shove it in and all that and close the door, you know, like that. No, it has to be like that. Then that's the standard you set. Now, because it's this much stuff, then from you limit it to this much, then they'll only have this much.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But if you told them, they go, "Oh, well, they can have this much," then they'll have this much. So the point is there's a standard set. And so then that's what you have to do. Certain things have to be met. But the point is, so it's like you chant your 16 rounds. But, you know, someday somebody gets them all done before Mangal Arti, somebody just after Mangal Arti, sometimes early in the morning before they go out. Other guys are still chanting at midnight.
Yes.
But the point is they're getting done. Right. So that's the idea.
I remember Atul Krishna Prabhu, when we were in Melbourne, you know, we used to have these mega breakfasts, right? So he used to come up before going out on Sankirtan, and he had this plate, huge amount. So we told him, says Prabhu, you know, you should reduce, really. This is not very good for you. So he thought about it, he says, "Actually, you're right." So the next day he came with a small plate and piled it up.
Exactly. Yes. So. And it's also easier because then it was up to here. You could just take off.
You don't have to bend.
Yeah, you don't have to bend, you know. And it's small enough, then you pick it up. So you just, as it goes, you just lift it up. In the 22nd chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the process of devotional service. In the beginning, he describes the truth about the living entity and the super excellence of devotional service. He then describes the uselessness of mental speculation and mystic yoga. Right? So they're just useless. Mm-hmm. It's not that, but like this, you can... No, they're just useless for devotional service. Right? Because they aren't devotional service. You know, you might be using it some way to support, but they're not, just like in the other ages. Those are the primary things. So when we say deity, it's not the main thing. You can't just do deity worship and not chant and do all right. You have to be chanting. Then the devotion. Then doing the deity worship, doing the yajna, doing, you know, the absorption in Krishna, then these have meaning. So the center has to be absorbed in Krishna, and that's going to be centered around, of course, the holy name. In all circumstances, the living entity is recommended to accept the path of devotional service as personally explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? How he says, that's what we try. That's what we're trying to do. The speculative method of the so-called jnanis is considered a waste of time, and that is proved in this chapter. An intelligent person should abandon the process of karmakanda, jnanakanda, and mystic yoga. Right, so upasana kanda will use where upasana is about Krishna, but the upasana kanda on the demigods, that we don't bother with. Once you give up all these useless processes and take seriously to the path of Krishna consciousness, in this way one's life will be successful. If one takes to Krishna consciousness fully, even though he may sometimes be agitated due to having previously practiced mental speculation and mystic yoga, he will be saved by Lord Krishna himself. The fact is that devotional service is bestowed by the blessings of a pure devotee. Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha. A pure devotee is the supreme transcendentalist, and one has to receive his mercy for one's dormant Krishna consciousness to be awakened. One has to associate with pure devotees. If one has firm faith in the words of a great soul, pure devotional service will be awoken. Right? Because if you have firm faith, then they having firm faith, then you have something common there.
Yes.
Right? So then you'll be able to appreciate what they're speaking about, and you'll be able to appreciate devotion, pure devotional service. In this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu differentiates between a pure devotee and others. He also describes the characteristics of a pure devotee. Devotee's most formidable enemy is association with women in an enjoying spirit. Association with non-devotees is also condemned because it is also a formidable enemy on the path of devotional service. Because the non-devotees, it'll be their whole point is association with women in an enjoying spirit. That's the whole thing, right? That's the point. Is that it's saying association with women enjoying spirit is dangerous. It's more dangerous to associate with someone who has that enjoying spirit, because then you pick up from them how that mood is.
Yes.
Well, if you associate with a woman and enjoying spirit, you have to work harder.
Yes.
The other one, you just naturally pick it up. Right?
Yes.
Like that. One has to fully surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna and give up attraction for women and non-devotees. Right? Because it's an attraction, because it's an important element. So that's why you see is that the Vedic literature, then husbands and wives would be together, but Krishna being the center, so how their services work connected to Krishna, that is then how it worked nicely. And so then you have the common, and because you have the masculine and feminine natures, then they would each act according to their nature, and the other would have to be careful of the other's, you know, to act in a way that's compatible with the other's nature. And so in that way, then those aspects of dealing with the soul are taken care of, and at the same time, then the center being Krishna, one goes back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But it's not that husband and wife are together for sense gratification. Husband and wife are together for the central point of serving Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more comfortable in that environment of being together as a husband and wife, and in that environment, then they can move forward to Krishna. If someone's a brahmacharian doesn't need that, then he works without that. But the point is, it's just the situation that you function within.
Mm.
It's not about what you get from the situation. Because Maya is such that you, whatever you think you'll get from the situation, you don't get. You know, it's just like you sit down to a meal and, you know, you have a pleasant mood and all that, pleasant balance. You eat, oh, this is very nice. But if you sit down and think, wow, this is going to be good, I'm really going to enjoy this, there's no taste. Always. You know, you say, what's on there, mix this with that, put some salt, try to do that, eat more because you're trying to find the taste. And then afterwards, you know, oh, that was stupid. So it's just, you know, Maya knows how to kick you. Like that. Be if you have faith in nothing else, know that she knows how to get you. You know, like that. And why? Because she's a devotee of Krishna. Because you're not supposed to enjoy it. But if you're serving Krishna, then you see they have the best facilities and they enjoy the most. But they're not focused on it. It's like paroksha, aparoksha. Our dealing with karma is aparoksha. Does that make sense? So aparoksha means, it means you're not, how you say, you're experiencing, but you're not directly aware.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. Something is that you're tasting it, they taste, but as soon as you go, wow, this tastes really good, you're not tasting it anymore. So that's the whole point. You're doing your service, and it's pleasant, it's nice, and so that's nice. And then afterwards you go, wow, it was a very nice time. Krishna is very kind. But as soon as you go, wow, this is good, I'm really going to enjoy it, then immediately it's a mirage. It just goes off. You know, it's like water. You can never get it.
It's a preconceived idea in the mind.
Yes, preconceived. So therefore then it's you're dealing with the senses and all that. So it's pratyaksha. So there's no, where's the experience going to be? So it's very, you know, because the point is afterwards you can think back, wow, that was very nice. But when you're dealing with sense on sense object, it's only when the sense is touching the sense object you get any experience. And as soon as the two break, you know, as soon as you stop putting something in your mouth, the taste is gone.
But in devotional service, whether you like it or not, the fact that you render the service, because it is pleasing to Krishna first.
Yes.
Whether it's pleasing to you or not, it's not an issue.
No, but you'll be pleased.
You'll be pleased.
You'll see afterwards, you're pleased. Now, even you see in the material platform, let's say there's a situation that was very difficult, you know, very crazy. You know, at the time, it's this and that, and so many things, and so many emotions. But let's say it's 20, 30 years later, and you're discussing it with someone who was there. You'll be laughing about it. You know, remember that? It came in, and then we were just ready, and then this guy did this, and the whole thing fell down, and it was insane like that. You're laughing about it. So then you're just going on the experience. But there it's about, you know, like preconceived ideas. This will be here. I got it all together. I'm an organizer. I got it all perfect. Like this. And then the... they call it, then the shlemiel comes in. And then you become the shlemazel. Yes? No?
Different culture.
So shlemiel is the cause and the shlemazel is the gate and the effect.
The effect, yes. Yes, so cause and effect. So, in other words, all the things that the shlemazel will experience, then the shlemiel is the... Yeah. That was the Satsandarbha explanation of... That makes sense, no?
Yeah.
Means there's the person who always does something stupid, but it doesn't affect him. You know, the example is given, the waiter comes in with a hot, you know, let's say a hot bowl of soup. But because he's a shlemiel, he trips and it goes flying through the air. It doesn't, no effect for him. But the guy the soup lands on, that's the shlemazel. Yeah? Very scientific. Cause and effect. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that you're not approaching it for that aspect. You might in the beginning. And that's the thing. If you have that attachment for these things and for all that kind of enjoying spirit, then it's that is being able to be taken care of within the Grihastha Ashram. But the point is when you have that spirit, you'll never get it. It's just not quite there. But when you're just serving Krishna and all that, then husband and wife will find that it's a very nice atmosphere by Krishna's grace. So that's the whole thing, is that that's how energy works. You want, you won't get. You're cool and all that, then it's there. That's just the way it works. You know, you're cool like that. You ever seen the bird? The guy's just sitting there. The girl walks over. As soon as he pays attention, she walks off. That's just how it works. No? So therefore, we just focus on Krishna. Krishna's happy. We're happy. That's the actual thing. So it's actually a more deep, more lasting experience. It's subtler, but it's more lasting, it's more real for the soul. Because we have to understand, we're the subtlest in this whole equation here. Like that. The six symptoms of fully surrendered souls are also described in this chapter. We have to add that to the list. Devotional service is divided into two categories, regular devotional service and spontaneous love. There are 64 items listed in regular devotional service, and out of these 64, the last five are considered very important. By practicing even one of the nine processes of devotional service, one can become successful. So of those nine, these five are the most important. So in other words, 64 are there, and within that is included the nine, but of these, that then the five are the most important. Speculative knowledge and mystic yoga can never help one in devotional service. It says it never help one. It's not that someone can help or under this circumstance. They can never help. Because you're doing something about Krishna, then whatever mechanics you use, that'll be helpful. But it's not the mechanics is what makes devotional service work.
Yes.
We're thinking, no, if I do the yoga, then I'll improve my devotional service and it'll never happen. You may be doing devotional service and you do some yoga for your health and that, and then it can assist, but it's not that the yoga will make it better. Why are you doing it? So that you be healthy so you can do devotional service. That attitude is what makes it valuable. We have to understand it's that mood. It's not the mechanics. But we use mechanics as recommended because then we can use any mechanics. Again, our independence. Our lack of control, lack of accepting authority. That's why we interpret it that way.
Yes.
That's impersonalism.
So Maharaj, when we speak about mood, it's connected with the attitude?
Yes.
It's connected with the
mood, the attitude, and all these things, the qualities.
Yeah,
all these things are
yes.
there. Because that's the whole point, is that when we're discussing the Sambandha Abhideyam Prayojana, then you're going to have Sankarshan is going to be the knowledge, the skills, the situation you're in. So in other words, time, place, circumstance,
yes.
And that proper understanding and knowledge. Then you're going to have Rajunda be the proper attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that means your qualities,
yes.
Like that. And then Aniruddha will be the goal that you're trying to attain, and Vasudeva means to apply all those three.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so sometimes you see it where you're just putting them in a line like that. Then yes, it works like that. But technically speaking, it's Sankarsha, Prajumna, and Aniruddha there in one line, and then in front of that is Vasudeva, or above that is Vasudeva. So Vasudeva performs his pastimes using the qualities of those other three. So in that way, then Prajumna is in the position of Abhideya, and that's where you get qualities. That's why sometimes you can see name, form, qualities, pastimes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then you're going to get that the qualities are the active principle. Because it's you perform an activity depending on the qualities used, that's the effect it will give. You can say, no, but I got the external physical result that was proper, but the effect of it was bad because the qualities used were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And someone didn't get necessarily the greatest technical result, but because the mood and the qualities were good, therefore the effect is good.
Yes.
And people can't understand that. My result is better than his. Why is he getting praised and I'm not? So that's the whole thing, is people look at his qualities by how you do. Like nowadays they talk about, oh, you have to have this quality, that quality. But at the same time is, then but if it's equality, then it should be, you can use any quality because they're all equal. You know, so it doesn't make any sense. Well, maybe that's what it means. The qualities that you express over, what do you call it? The... social media, because the E aspect. Huh? Go ahead.
Previously we discussed that the main difference between qualities and the energies of the Lord is that the energies, they reveal the qualities of the Lord.
Mm.
But now as you explain, according to the quality and according to the goal, Lord uses specific energy. Mm. So there's direct connection and there's the backward connection. Mm. So we have to see both. What is the cause? I mean, the original cause is the Lord.
Right.
But then we see sometimes the energy is the cause and the quality is the effect. And sometimes is the quality is the cause and the energy is the effect.
Yes.
So it's not like we can make it stationary,
yes,
and then use it.
Yes.
It's
dynamic.
Yeah, dynamic, exactly. Yeah.
But it's dynamic in a very specific way. It follows the law.
Right.
But so you have to understand what the law is. We take it as that we want to see what's the particular ritual of this and that. No, what's the actually governing principle? That's the thing you see. Then you can see how it works both ways. Just like Krishna means you have Krishna as the Vishaya and the devotee as the Ashraya, right? So then in that principle, then Krishna is the enjoyer, the devotee is the enjoyed. But the devotee also is tasting rasa. And what is he tasting? Krishna. So therefore, the devotee is tasting Krishna, and Krishna is tasting the devotee. And then devotional service itself has a taste on its own. So you have all these different aspects that it goes, but the point is you have to see is it works this way because that makes Krishna the center. But in being so, then making Krishna the center, it doesn't mean the devotee is not enjoying. But when it's not about himself, that's why then there was the problem with the Tattvavadis and like that. Is their point is I'm doing this. Practice so that I can get liberation in this particular way in Vaikuntha, which is it's a spiritual piety, but the point is it's still centered around themselves, not the Lord. It's connected to the Lord, but it's not centered around the Lord. So it's not pure devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya wasn't interested. So he made the comment, but they didn't appreciate, because their rules and everything like this and their philosophy. So they couldn't see what was wrong. And so because of that, then that problem. Like that. So the point is it was about themselves. But when you make it about Krishna, then you're enjoying Krishna's wonderfulness. But it's still about Krishna. So that's the difference and non-difference. Because here it's like we're serving, then on our mind we're not enjoying. Like that, because we have that. But the point is that the parent likes taking care of the kid. They're serving. So there's always that balance. As a parent, they're in charge, but they're serving. The child is dependent, but they're in charge. So that's that. They're controlling the situation. So that's the whole point. When one's controlling, the other one's enjoying. When it's the other way around, then it works. The parents getting him to do this, like that story, probably tells about that. Or was it the prime minister or something? And then somebody's waiting to see the prime minister. The door's open, but they're saying, "Oh, you have to wait and all that to find." But he just barges in, and there's the prime minister on his hands and knees on the floor with his 3-year-old. Grandson on his back, go here, go there. So he's controlling him and he's enjoying. You know, so that's the whole thing, is it's not understood, is how it works. And so if you understand it works in these ways, then you understand the principle, then you can apply it. But when we have to have this you know, thing like, no, it can only be like this, then it's a problem. Because, oh, that's like this, so this one is not explained by this, by my definition. So therefore, to explain this, I have to use Western terminology and Western definitions, because the Vedic doesn't explain it. No, you haven't understood is that this explaining this explains all of it. All the ways you could apply it. And if there is something that's significantly different in the application, that the form looks so different, it will have different names. But it's still the same thing, still the same principle.
Bhakti Gyan Maharaj, he explains that the language that we speak defines the person, defines the nation. And then he gives an example that, you know, like German or English language, it's all rules. Without rules, it doesn't make any sense. So accordingly, people, they are very, you know, like organized. But the Russian, it's kind of it has rules, but it's not about rules. It's a spontaneous language. So that side, that part of the world, it's a different.
So therefore, the emotions become more prominent.
Yeah, the emotions become more prominent. But then he mentions that what's interesting, Sanskrit has both. It has very strict rules, but you can express yourself better than any other language. So this is like philosophy for Achintya Bheda Tattva. It has strict rules in terms of tattva, but rasa, all the rasas are there, and to the fullest extent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, perfect, perfect. So, yeah?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.